This message was recorded December 10, 2023. The speaker is David Simpson.
Now please take your Bibles, and we're going to start in John's Gospel. So our text will be in Ephesians 2, but I want us to start in John chapter 1, please. I want to try to link two verses together, but I'll give you this one first. Everybody with me? I hope you're enjoying our study in Ephesians. I love studying like this, and I hope you do as well. But I want you to look in John 1, and this is something that John the Apostle said about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in verse 16, and of His fullness, that is the fullness of Christ, have all we received. And then he has this phrase for grace. Verse 17 is the verse I really want you to look at, and the law was given by Moses. So you could stop right there. The law is connected with Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So grace is connected with Christ. Law is connected with Moses. All right? Now I want you to go with me then to Romans chapter 11. Romans 11. And I want you to look in verse 5 and 6 of Romans 11. Romans 11 in verse 5 says, "Even so, then at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it's of works, it's be of works, it is no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." So it's either of Moses or it's of Christ. It's of law or it's of grace. It's of works or it's of grace. But those cannot be mixed together. We took our little trip out west. We came back through southern Wyoming. And from Casper, we came down, if I remember right, it's Interstate 26. And then at a certain point, out of probably 100 miles, we picked up Highway 26 and began to come east. So we were trying to get from Casper, Wyoming to Ogallala, Nebraska. And when we were driving along, which some people don't like to drive like this, but I just love it. You're driving along a straight, flat road, hardly any turns, few ups and downs like that. But we're running along a railroad track, mile after mile after mile, a railroad track. I don't remember us seeing any trains. I don't think we did. But there was a contraption that you can put on the base of a truck, and then you can drive along the track in that truck. And we followed it for a long ways. We could see it. We were going a little bit faster, but not much. I don't drive but about 60, a little over 60, so I wasn't going very fast. And I doubt they were going 60, but we had probably more ups and downs than they did. We drove along next to them for quite a little distance. Those two tracks, going, going, going. One thing I noticed about those two tracks, far as we followed them, they never came together. You always had the one track and the other track. Well, that's like law and grace. Law and works are on one track, and grace and truth are on the other track. And the two never meet. You never bring them together. They can never be anything other than what they are. Law and works, grace and faith go together. So law and works, in terms of the theological system, that's one category. Grace and faith, that's another category. What is law? If you went back, I won't go, we've done it before, but if you went back to Deuteronomy, at the end of Deuteronomy, we learn exactly what the law is. It is a series of curses and blessings. If you don't do, it's a curse. If you do, it's a blessing. And the law has both, curses and blessings. But it always has that if. If you don't, if you do. Grace has no ifs. No ifs. Not one. Grace is altogether what God does. And what is the purpose of the law then? Why have all of that about the law? I mean, the Old Testament is filled with the law. Why have all of that? Well, we learn in Romans chapter 3 and verse 20 that by law is the knowledge of sin. We wouldn't know sin if we didn't have the law. So it's not that we're to set the law aside. because the law tells us what sin is. And John tells us that sin is the transgression of the law. So those two things should always be standing together. So if that's the purpose of the law, then I ask, well, what is the purpose of grace? Now we get to our text. So now I want you to go with me to Ephesians 2. And our text is in verse number 8. For by grace are you saved. That is the purpose of grace. Purpose of grace is to save us. Purpose of grace is to deliver us. That's what the word save means. It means to be delivered. Delivered from the sin that put us under condemnation. That took place at the cross. Saved us from darkness and ignorance. That's what takes place when we are awakened by the Spirit of God and brought to the knowledge of the truth. Both of those have their place in God's system. Paul is putting this all together, for by grace are you saved. So, I've already been over this, but you know it's the grace that he's talked about back in verse 5, and also the grace that he's talked about over here in the first chapter in verse 6 and verse 7. So, you can't remove that. That's what he's talking about. The grace that's there. For by the grace that I've talked about are you saved through faith. So now we come to what we're going to talk about, and that is through faith. But also, a lot of the translations also have the article before faith, before the faith. So you have the grace and the faith. So if the grace goes back, then is it not also true that the faith goes back? And it does. Go back to the first chapter and look in verse 15. So now you've come to the end of that great statement on the doxology or praise to God. 1-3-14, you remember that? So in verse 15, he mentions their faith. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith. So now he's talking about their personal faith. So when he says the faith, he means the faith of you. The grace that I talked about before, the faith that I've already spoken of. Isn't that easy to see? That's not hard to see. And that's the truth of it. That's what that is. So by the grace are you saved in the past with a present and ongoing result. Passive, you didn't do it. God did it. You're saved. You're not going to be lost. You're saved. He's going to keep you. In Hebrews 10 it says that we were illuminated. And then he says, we're not of those who are going to go back. So we're not going to go back. If he's illuminated us, we're not going to go back. Now, I sometimes fear I will. I've had times where I thought I would. But he's not going to let me. Same way that he saved me, he's going to keep me saved. And I'll always be that way. By grace are you saved through faith. The little preposition that he uses is dia. It is what is called a word of means or a preposition of means. And grace, we can say, is the cause. And we can say faith is the means. Not the means to appropriate what Jesus made available. See, most of religion looks upon what Jesus did was make salvation available. And it doesn't matter whether you are an Arminian or a Calvinist. They still think that Jesus made salvation possible. You could be a charismatic today, or you could be a very staunch, sit in the pew, not move around, no amens, Baptist, but still you believe that it's to appropriate what he made available. He made it available. How do you get it? By means of faith. That's what they say. So many are reformers today in the reform system and the reform thoughts. And the reformers, they say they hold to Calvinism, but they also are people who believe that it's by faith, by the appropriation of faith. But he doesn't use the word appropriate, does he? He doesn't say that. He just says by faith, by the faith that I spoke of before, by the means of faith. So here's what we say. We say that the Bible says it's by the means of faith that we see the salvation that he already saved us with. That we understand the salvation that he saved us with. And that we rest in the salvation of what Jesus completed and saved us with through the faith. What is faith? Well, it's the basic idea of reliance upon. It's trust. It's confidence in. And the faith, as I've already said, is their faith back there. Is it the settled body of truth or the faith of the believer? It is the faith of the believer. And the context tells us that as well as looking back to what he's already talked about. So now what Paul does is he gives us three bits of information, three pieces of information. Because when he says, "For by grace are you saved," that stands together just like he did in verse 5. By faith or through faith, by means of faith, and now he begins to give us these three pieces of information. Because he knows when he says through faith that that's not totally explanatory. So he's going to add something to it in order to explain it. And that's what the word "and" is. It is a little conjunction for explanation. And here is the first thing that he's going to say to us. And that, and faith, some people would say, and that means refers back to grace. But no, it's a reference back to the first object. Always a reference back to the first object. And what is the first object? Faith. So what's the subject? It's faith. And that faith, and faith, is not of yourselves. So that's the first piece of information. It is not of yourselves. So faith is not something we have naturally. Now I do have faith when I'm driving, when I go up over a hill, that the road is going to continue and I can't see it. But I have faith that it's still there. So I go up over that hill, my eyes catch it, and I stay on the road. I have that kind of faith. But I don't have the kind of faith that brings the salvation that he's talking about. So it is not of yourselves. It is not something you have. So if a preacher says, "Place your faith in Christ," what's your response? "I ain't got none. I don't have any. If God doesn't give it to me, I don't have it. I can't do what you're telling me to do." And what's he going to say to you? He's going to say, "Just pray this prayer." And he's going to give you a prescribed prayer to pray. He's going to tell you exactly what to say. What's the difference between that and what the Catholics have done with their written prayers, century after century? And so they have their prescribed prayers. What's the difference? No difference. So the reformers and the Protestants, ones who protested against Catholicism, have continued on with their Catholicism, and they don't even know it. Do this, and you will. But you're trying to do something that you can't do. Faith is not something you can work up. It's not something you can work out. It's not something you can pray down. Faith does involve the mind. Faith does involve the affections. Faith does involve the will, and yet self is not the source. Who is the source? Well, we're about to see in a minute, but he first of all wants to know it is not of yourselves. What does it say in Romans 10 and 17? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That hearing has to get into your mind and into your heart and move your will. So God puts His Word, His Gospel into us and instructs the mind and fires the affections and moves the will so that we come to Christ. It's a mysterious thing. But Paul said in Galatians 1 and verse 15 that God separated me and called me by His grace. He doesn't say I came. He says God called me by His grace. So His grace is what saved us. Faith is the means, but faith is not of yourselves. You don't have it. You're not going to find it in there. You look all around in your mind and heart as much as you want. You are not going to find it. He has to give it to you. And when it's there, you're going to be so attracted to this grace that you can't let it go. So that's the first bit of information. It is not of yourselves. But then he adds this wonderful piece of information. What does he say? It is the gift of God. Faith is not of yourselves. Faith is the gift of God. All right? It is the gift, a lot of translations, and it's the gift because it's so particular and it goes with grace. It is this grace that gives us the gift. The word God, theos, is in the genitive of source. Theou is the way it is in the original, and it's of God, meaning God is the source of the gift, therefore He's the source of the grace, but He's also the source of the faith. By grace are you saved, by the means of the faith, and that, even though it's your faith, it is not of yourselves, and even though it's of yourselves, I want you to know it is the gift of God. Subjective faith is a part of God's plan. He chose us before the foundation of the world, and all He chose before the foundation of the world will believe. Every one of them. Jesus Christ died on the cross for those He chose before the foundation of the world, and every one of them are going to believe. There's a big time advertisement going on right now about a preacher in California that wrote a book about the second coming of Christ. He said when Christ comes back, there'll be billions. Billions will be taken. Do you believe there are billions who know the gospel? I mean, we can hardly find just a handful in the known world, in the communicating world. Billions? Come on. So you know that there's lies there. I hate to call him a liar. But you know that there are lies there as soon as he tells you there are billions. There are not billions. God, out of humanity, has chosen a limited number of people. Every one of them are going to believe. Everyone for whom Christ died are going to believe. You know, these also were quickened here. They're also brought to faith. And furthermore, they will continue to be enlightened. Go back with me to 1:18. That your eyes of your understanding being enlightened. There it is a active ongoing. He said, I pray that you will continue to be enlightened, that you will have an understanding, and the object is just before that of Him. I pray that you will continue to be enlightened. So it's something we're to pray for one another about. Subjective faith is a part of God's plan. You will continue to be enlightened. And we pray to that end. God will not fail. Those who are His will not turn back. He gives, we have. God gave faith. God doesn't offer faith. It doesn't say, for by grace are you saved through the offering of faith. No. By grace are you saved by the means of faith. It is not the offer of God. It is the gift of God. God gave this to Lydia. Do you remember what it said about Lydia? It says, whose heart the Lord opened that she attended to what was being said. That word attend is two words. The root word means to hold. And he put a preposition on the front of it to intensify. So it is to intensely hold. She gave attention to it. She sat on every word that he preached. It means to earnestly heed. It means to earnestly be devoted to it. God opened her heart. And she, because of that opening, gave attendance to everything with great attention to it. There you have the opening of the heart as a sovereign act of God, and you have her in response to it giving attention to God's Word. Oh, that we all could be like Lydia, for Him to open our heart and for us to give our attention to it. So the first bit of information, faith is not of yourselves. Faith is the gift of God. Then look in your Bible, what does it say in the next verse? Also, faith is not of works. Remember our train? One rail, the other rail. Grace and faith, law and works. It is not of works. He could have said not of law, but it's not of works. Not of works. And what do works do? They lead to boasting. They always lead to boasting. What are works? By dictionary, task or task to be undertaken, something that a person must do. That's work. If it's a verb, it's to be engaged in a physical or mental activity in order to achieve a result. Not my words. That's words from the dictionary. In order to. Law and works go together in order to. Grace and faith go together because of. Where we begin and where others are trying to get to. We begin with grace having saved, and faith the gift of God to see it, know it, and rest in it. So that's what it is. It's that faith. And grace is one category. Law is another category. I want you to turn with me to Romans 3. We're going to stop there. So I want you to go to Romans 3. And I want you to see something about boasting. I think I can do this pretty quickly. 3:27 of Romans. I went through this not so long ago in our study of Romans, but we can't see it too much. In verse 26, you have God being the just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. Then you have to go back to Romans 1:16-17, where he defines what that means as Jews or Gentiles, him which believes in Jesus. Then he asks this question, where is the boasting then? Well, boasting, as far as the gospel is concerned, is, what does he say, excluded. That's what he means. By what? Excluded by the law of works. See, that goes together. By the law of works. Nay, not the law of works, because the law of works, law and works, produce the boasting. But it is excluded by the law of faith. Grace and faith go together. He has been talking about grace, particularly back in verse 24. He mentioned grace. Grace and faith go together, but it's by the law of faith. And the law of faith that he's talking about, again, is that settled body of truth. It is set in opposition to the law of works. So the law of works is a full body of the do's and the don'ts. But you have the law of the faith, which is the whole settled body of truth that concerns Jesus Christ. And the two cannot be mixed together. Boasting cannot produce this grace, and grace does not produce the boasting. Some would say, well, you, because you believe in election, that makes you proud and arrogant. The opposite. It puts us in the dust. We know that we're nothing. What would we be that God would choose and show his grace? And when you take a step further and you go to righteousness imputed in connection with the cross, that makes it all even. Nobody any different from anybody else. So instead of boasting, it excludes the boasting. So the law of faith is that settled body of truth, and that settled body of truth excludes all boasting. Now, as with any doctrine in the Bible, anyone, you not only look at it in a certain passage like we have, faith, not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works. That's the three pieces of information that he gave us. I'm going to give you two more pieces of information. Not new to you, but since they're close, I want to use these. Go back with me to Romans 1. Let me show you again what faith is. We'll start in chapter 1 and verse 15. So, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So the rest of the book of Romans and in Paul's writings, we know that when he says everyone that believes, he's not talking about a general wholeness of the whole human race, but he's talking about whether you are a Jew or a Gentile. Isn't that clear? That doesn't seem hard to me at all to see. For therein, in verse 17, now you have to go back and ask, what does he mean for therein? That goes back to the beginning of verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Then you leave all the rest of that information out. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. And how is it revealed? It is revealed from faith to faith. The word revealed is the word apokalupto. Do you like that word? It is made of a word which means to cover. The preposition in the beginning means to from, so it's to pull back the cover or to uncover or to disclose. For therein is the righteousness of God disclosed. It's disclosed in the gospel. Or the gospel, again, is that whole body of truth that concerns Christ. From, the word from is ek, which means out of. And it's out of faith. It is out of that settled body of truth. And then to, which is into. For there it is, the righteousness of God will reveal from, out of that settled body of truth, to or into personal faith. So you have the two kinds of faith here. The settled body of truth and personal faith. Both of them have their place. How is the righteousness of God revealed? It is revealed out of the preaching of the faith and into personal faith. Personal faith is a part of God's salvation. It is essential to the confession of one being a believer. It is necessary to repent. You don't repent unless you believe, and you don't believe unless you repent. Repentance and faith always go together. Personal faith is the bedrock of resting in Christ. Personal faith is evidence that God has revealed the gospel to you, wherein the righteousness of God is revealed. That's what he said. The truth of faith as revelation is carried then throughout. So what I have said to you is, faith is not of yourselves. Faith is the gift of God. Faith is not of works. And faith is revelation. One more thing. Go with me over to the fourth chapter. The fourth chapter. And I want you to look at toward the end down to verse 20. And I say to you, faith number five, these five things. Not of yourselves, gift of God, not of works, revelation, and it's persuasion. Faith is persuasion. Verse 20, he, that's Abraham, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded. Those last two phrases, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded, are coordinate phrases. In other words, they go together. They fit together. Both of them are active, so he is continuing to give glory to God, and he is continuing to be persuaded. It isn't that he was just once persuaded. He was continuing to be persuaded. He was convinced. He was determined that it was true. So when you put those two together, the more he gave glory to God, the more he was persuaded. The more he was persuaded, the more he gave glory to God. So you and I are seeking always to give glory to God, which will cause us to be more persuaded. Man's basic problem is he thinks too highly of himself and too lowly of God. But when we edify God and we glorify God, then what happens is we become more and more persuaded. That word persuaded has two parts to it. The main part means to bear, Pharaoh. And the word on the beginning of it is peros, and it means full. So it is to bear fully. Here it's like wearing the same clothes over and over and over again. You're wearing these clothes continuously, and you are continuously giving glory to God, and you are continuously being persuaded. That's what faith is. Faith is continuously being persuaded. What have I said to you today? Faith is not of yourselves. Faith is the gift of God. If he gives it, you have it. Faith is not of works. Works will produce boasting. Faith is revelation for us to see and know and rest, and faith is persuasion. Now, if you get a hold of those five things, and you look at those five things and think about them, kind of on a daily basis in your own life, your persuasion and your faith will grow, and that will carry you through the valleys of life to the peaks of life, because always we're giving glory to God, and we are persuading. Now, do you remember that we read a story about a man that came to Jesus? And Jesus spoke to him about his faith, and the man responded pretty much like I would. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Would you enable my faith to grow? Would you enable my faith to proceed? Yes, I believe, but help me to continue to be persuaded and believe. That is my prayer. I trust it is yours.